Hello, and welcome to the Mosaic Weekly Podcast. Mosaic exists to follow Jesus in authentic community for the world, and we do this in several different ways. On Sundays, we meet together for three gatherings at 1832 Northeast Cesar E. Chavez Boulevard in the heart of the Hollywood District of Portland. Our gatherings start at 9:15 and 11 a.m. and at 6:15 p.m. with child care available at all gatherings. We also meet in life groups all over the city, and God calls us to love the city of Portland. If you'd like more information about who we are, how to be involved, how to find a life group, or you have some other question, please visit our website at www.mosaicportland.org, or just come and hang out with us at one of our gatherings. We look forward to seeing you, and for now, here's this week's talk.
John chapter 3, if you've got a Bible, you can turn there. It's going to be up on the screen as well. Like I said, it's just a few sentences back and forth that are recorded of this conversation. It's at night. Nicodemus comes and knocks on Jesus' door, wherever Jesus was staying, and they sit down and have this brief conversation. Verse 1 says this: "Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council." Big, important guy. "He came to Jesus at night and said, 'Rabbi,'" which means teacher, "'we know that you are a teacher who has come from God. For no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him.' And Jesus replied, 'Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again.'" Nicodemus is a prominent guy. He's important. He's well-trained, well-educated, respected among his peers. He's got a position of prestige and prominence in his community. He's a Pharisee, which we attach so many bad things to that today, if you're familiar with that term. But it's a trained and educated religious leader, and we use it today many times as kind of an identifier of somebody's not being true to following Jesus or being a hypocrite in many ways. But for then, it was really a prestigious place. And then he was also part of the ruling class, which means that he knew all the laws and made decisions for that community, which means when things went wrong in the community, he was one of the guys that they looked to. He had all the answers. He was one of the guys that had all the answers. And so when things went on in that culture at that time among those people, they looked to guys like Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a guy that had all of the answers. And yet we find Nicodemus coming to this relatively unknown rabbi teacher guy named Jesus, knocking on his door at night, so not a lot of people knew he was going over, and he was sure that Jesus would have some time to answer a few questions. And he comes in and he just kind of pays him a compliment and says, "Rabbi." So an older guy who has all the answers, Nicodemus, comes to a younger guy, probably early 30s, Jesus, and says, "Hey, you're a teacher, and you're a special teacher. We know that you come from God, and the reason that we know that is we've seen all of this just amazing things that you've done. Jesus had done miracles and healed people and turned water to wine. There was a big party, and all of these things have been going on." And so Jesus was getting this reputation as having come from God because he's doing miracles. Nicodemus just simply says, "This is who you are." He makes a statement. Jesus flips the conversation quickly and looks back at Nicodemus and says, "You're a guy with all the answers, and yet I know that you've got a ton of questions that you're asking, but that you haven't asked verbally yet." And Jesus just cuts through all the niceties and the compliments and just shoots straight to the heart. And he says, as you've heard, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they're born again." Now Nicodemus is probably like, "Ah, geez, it took enough to come to this young guy." And now he just shoots straight through everything. And Jesus is saying, "I know that you're asking some questions that you can't tell anyone. And I know that you want to eventually ask that, but I'm going to save us some time. I'm just going to cut through all that because, well, I'm God in the flesh and I know what you're asking. And so I know that you have these deeper questions of how can you actually connect with God? You're a religious leader, you've got all the answers, you're prominent in your community, and you're still thirsting and longing to actually experience and know God. And that I know that you want to be in relationship with God." Another way that Jesus is saying that is you want to know the kingdom of God. You want to know that you're walking with and present with God and able to hear from God. But you can't unless you're born again. And Nicodemus responds with this: "How can someone be born when they are old? Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born again." And there's an exclamation mark there, which means he's kind of a little like confused and intense and like, "What are you talking about? Like, this makes no sense." Chances are you've heard the term born again before, and you have some kind of meaning to that. It's used in many different ways, but Oftentimes it's attached to Christians. Christians are born again. This is the first time this phrase is actually ever used. It all originates back to that, as twisted as that term may have gotten, and that your context of hearing it or understanding of it might be really different than what Jesus is meaning. But he says to be born again, and Nicodemus has never heard this term before, and he's like, wait. To be born. So the process of an infant coming out of its mother's womb, that delivery process, that makes no sense. I'm an older dude. I can't be, you know, maybe Nicodemus' mom isn't even still alive. Maybe she's passed on. And so he's even thinking like, if she was even here, how could I as a full-grown adult male be put back into my mother's womb? This is crazy talk. He literally doesn't get it. And what's very clear from the very beginning is Jesus is asking for something that's impossible. Not only does it not make sense, but it can't be done. So Jesus, the things that I'm longing for, the deeper questions that I have inside of my heart and mind that I can't verbalize to anyone, the things that I'm struggling with, that I'm really wondering about, what's meaning like look like for me in my life? Why am I seeking for something that I still can't find when I should be a guy with all the answers? Why can't I really connect with God? This is a longing I have in my heart, and you're telling me that it's impossible, that I can't get there, that I've got to somehow go back to embryonic form and go into my mother's womb and then be born again, start all over life again. Like, that is impossible. And that's exactly what Jesus is trying to say to him. For you to see, and later on he's going to say to enter, for you to enter into the kingdom of God, to be in relationship with the God of the universe, it's actually impossible. You can't do it. We all know what that feels like, to have something be impossible. We all know what it's like to have a goal or a target and something to aspire to, and then have it we just know deep in our soul that's never going to happen. I'm not going to get there, as much as I wish I could. I had one of these. It's not like a life changing one, but it's impossible for me right now where I am, and this has gone on in my life for the last 24 hours. Yesterday at Lumberjack Games, which again was a lot of fun. There was a bunch of different events that were planned, and there was chopping of wood and what's a thing called when you start at one place and end at the other and have to do a bunch of obstacle course. There was that planned, and then there was this something called a slack line. If you know what a slack line is, it's about a 2-inch nylon rope that's tied between two trees and then cranked down, and it's really tight. It's called a slack line. You might know it as entertainment for your family at a park to watch somebody try to walk across one. That might be how you know it, but it takes a unique talent. I'm told, though I've never seen it, I'm told that people can actually walk across these. This was the design at Lumberjack Games, and nobody even got remotely close. The idea was that you stand on this slack line, let go of the tree that you start at, and walk across the other way, and there was somebody there timing it. And so there were several of us that are dads with young kids, and of course we put our young kids up there first to kind of go, how does this work? And they would get on there, and they would balance for a few seconds, and by a few seconds I mean 1.2 seconds, and then they would fall off. And after a number of kids doing it, the volunteer that was timing everybody, she looked over and said to those of us dads who were standing around, I think there's going to be a lot of very similar times. I think it's going to be start, stop. Start. And it was great. They were going for it. They were trying it. The furthest out was measured, and then the longest time balancing on it was measured. And one kid, my middle son, who won me this shirt, stood on it just a few inches away from the tree, but was able to stand for 20 seconds. That was the longest by far. All the others were between 1.2 and 3 seconds. And then the distance out was basically how long you were willing to fall on your face. And so a number of the children were willing just to go for it. And there were other folks at the park that we were in, a public park, Normandale Park over here on 57th. And all the dog people with dogs were watching. And then all the people with kids were watching. And a few kind of made their way over. And we had a family that kind of strolled over time, and their little 2-year-old kind of got help across it. And then the dad got up there, and I watched as he got up, and he put one foot up on the slack line, and then he put the other up on the slack line, and he turned around and said, okay, start the time. And she said, you have to let go of the tree first. And it's like, well, that doesn't make any sense. Like, how am I supposed to balance on that? And the idea of getting up on that slack line and walking across the other side just is beyond the realm of possibility. It for me, again, maybe you have training in this and you're uniquely gifted in it and you can actually do that. You can walk across that. But it's as if it says, hey, I have these I have these longings in my heart. I have this, on a deeply human, real level, I have these unanswered questions. I don't have answers to these questions. I don't know where to go with them. And that Jesus is standing at the other tree and saying, well, you want to come over here is what you want, and to walk across this, and yet it's impossible. It can't be done. And the thing that Jesus is trying to communicate is just that. It can't be done. It is impossible. You can't do it. And he explains this by saying this to Nicodemus. Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, normal human birth. But the Spirit, capital S, God, Holy Spirit, gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." Nicodemus says, "How can this be? This is impossible. I don't get this." And Jesus responds, "You are Israel's teacher, and do you not understand these things?" He's questioning Nicodemus. And the reason he's questioning him is because Nicodemus has understood everything that's gone before him in terms of written scripture, all of the Old Testament. And part of the Old Testament is this prophet named Ezekiel. And in Ezekiel, it has these few verses that Jesus is referring to when he talks about water and spirit. Listen to what these say. "I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws." Long ago, what Nicodemus had read these words and hadn't put together was that God is on the move, God is working, and God does what is impossible for us to do. And he says, "I will cleanse you. I will make you clean. I'll forgive you. I'll give you a new start, a new birth. I'll take the heart that's within you that is of stone, that is resistant to me and confident that on its own it can make its own way." He says that becomes an idol, that you think you can get to God on your own and that you look to that to meet all your needs. He says, I'm gonna remove those things from you and give you a new start, but it's going to be my doing. And you can't get there on your own. You can't do it. And Jesus goes on to say, and maybe you've heard these words before, some of his next words are this: "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." Jesus is saying to Nicodemus 2,000 years ago, Jesus is saying to me and to you this morning, the God of the universe loves you. The God of the universe knows you and loves you and cares about you and pursues you. And the God of the universe is the best, most powerful, most perfect, holy being, pure, 100% good, that he is king over all and Lord over all. And what he says is that life not attached to him, life not connected to him, life not dependent on him is actually no life at all. It's death. And what Jesus is saying is you need to be born again. You need to have a fresh start. You need to be made a new creation. You have to start over because you're actually not really alive. You think you're alive because you were born of your mother, but you're actually not really alive when you're not connected with God. And you can't connect yourself with God. All you can do is depend that his word is true and that the way that he has made for you is simply an invitation through the death and resurrection of Jesus. And says, "This is my demonstration of love. This is my announcement that I am king and powerful over everything else. And I invite you to come and follow me and be in relationship with me." And that's not you making your way from where you are down the rope to the other tree. It's you stepping off and saying, "I can't do that. And so I give up. And come meet me where I am and make me born again. Give me a new start. Start my life over. Move it from death and bring it back to life." This is said often here in this place, but I want to say it again today. As a church, as a family of followers of Jesus, Mosaic wants to be and become a people that believes that every single day and that relies on that reality every single day. And any good work that we do is in response to the grace and the love that we have from God through the person and work of Jesus. And so as we follow Jesus, we want to be convicted of and convinced of this story and of this reality and of this truth. And at the very same time, invite others to join us in believing this each and every day.
Thank you for listening to the Mosaic Weekly Podcast. We broadcast every Sunday from the Hollywood District in Portland, Oregon. If you'd like more information about who we are as a community, there's two addresses you should visit. Firstly, you can find us at www.mosaicportland.org, or you can just come and visit us on a Sunday at 1832 Northeast Cesar E. Chavez Boulevard. Thank you again for listening, and have a great day.